Well, good morning to each one of you. It's a joy to see you, and this morning I saw lots of new faces, and that always blesses me. And I do hope that this will be an opportunity for you to meet new women yourselves. Some of you have been around here for a long time. I just met Sherry back there, who this is brand new church for her. She and her husband just moved here because their son lives here and goes here. And she loves the church, and I just thought, how wonderful. They've just moved here, and she's already here for the first study. You know, that's commendable. And she said that she was just kind of hoping to get to meet other women, and that is one of the things this study is about, is to provide that opportunity for us to meet one another, to get to know one another, to pray for each other, and to learn about the Lord and hopefully grow that much more in love with Him. Because the more we learn about Him, it's like what we sang this morning, you know, how marvelous, how wonderful is our Lord. And we could study our whole lives long and still know such a small portion of who He is. But I just love who He is, and I am so thrilled that our study is starting again. Both Judy Pierce and I were saying this morning that when the study was first announced, it seems like October is so far away. And I usually start praying in August about, you know, what should be the start date. And each time, truly, I've always felt October. And yet my reaction is always the same. That is October. It just feels far away. But the main reason we wait till October is because we have young moms who have to kind of have an opportunity to get into the new schedule, you know, the rhythm of getting kids up early, getting them dressed, getting them to school. And so I've always felt that it was just the kindness of the Lord to them to say, let them get into that before starting the study as well. So that's what we do. While I'm mentioning that, I do want to say that last year we had this, but we didn't announce it. And so I want to make sure to announce it right up front. And that is, as I will get into, we have small groups that follow the teaching time. And we're going to have a group that's designated for nursing moms. And so if you're a nursing mom and you want to have your little one, if they're really young, in with you during the teaching time, I don't mind that at all. The thing I ask is that you would be sitting toward the back, and that way if your little one starts making noise, you know, not everybody will turn to look, and you can get up and walk back and forth or go out, whatever you want to do. But I don't mind that at all. And I know when you have newborns, you know, it's really hard to just put them in the nursery. And so know that that's open to you. And then for the prayer groups, that will also be in the nursing mom's room. So there'll be a couple of leaders in there to welcome you. So feel free to utilize that. I think it is a great opportunity. Before we get into the study, I do feel that we need to do a little of what I call housekeeping, you know, just to kind of let you all know what to expect and how things go. Now, this morning, we extended you grace. And I have to say, most of you didn't need it. You are here on time, which blessed me no end. But we will purpose to start right at 9:30. And the reason we do that is we actually, even though it's an hour and a half, that hour and a half flies by. And so we want to use that time well. And so we would ask that you plan to get here at 9:30. And that way, when we start, you're all a part of that, because the worship time is what every single one of us needs. You know, it settles our hearts. Who knows what some of us have been through before walking in here in the morning? And it just allows us to be settled, to worship the Lord, to have our eyes put on Him. And it's what God created us to do. And so I would hate for you to miss that time and would encourage you for that reason to make sure to be here on time for that as well. I do want to talk a little bit about the groups. It's not quite as foreign this year because we had them last year, but perhaps you noticed when you came in there are groups of circles where the chairs have been made, and that's where you're going to go to one of those after the study. And there'll be gals standing up holding their cards, so you'll, if you were in one of those groups last year and you think, oh, I want the same leader, you know, look for her and then join her group. If you're thinking, no, I need to be stretched, I want to meet some new women, then just pick whatever group you'd like to be in. The thing I do ask is, once you've picked a group, then stay there. Because that's how the friendships are going to be formed, by just seeing the same people week after week, praying together, praying for each other. And that is the whole purpose, the important purpose of the group. I mean, it's a blessing to get to know each other and make friendships, but to be able to pray for each other is so wonderful. We're going to have, for each person, this little notebook, very small, fits right in your Bible or in your purse. And every week, you will just write down the prayer requests of the people in your group. And that way, you don't have to wonder, what happened to that paper where I wrote down the prayer request? It'll be right in here, including your own. You could, in advance, write your prayer request, and so that you have it all ready to share when you come to the group. Now you might think, that's an awful little book, you know. Well, that gives you a hint about how you need to make your prayer requests. Because, you know, it's so easy to go on at length about what you want prayer for. The Lord knows, you know. All your group needs to know is the gist of what it is that you would like prayer for. And so plan on just being creative, you know, as you write your own prayer request, it'll help. And just thinking, how can I, in two or three sentences, communicate what I need prayer for? And hopefully everyone will do that. But if you think about it, if you have, say there were 10 women in a group, and you each spend 2-3 minutes on giving your prayer request, that's not a lot of time for a woman. And you give your prayer request, by the time you went through those 10 people, sorry, it's time to go, you know, and you don't have time to pray. Because all you have is about 30 minutes in the group. So that's why it's so important. And your group leaders have been encouraged to rein you in, you know, when you start going off or you're going too long. And they're not doing it to be rude, but they want to be sure you have time to pray. One of the things that's really important is that you don't uncover people. And they will probably discuss this with you as well. But again, it's so easy to say things that, well, if the person who you were talking about to pray for heard it, it would probably hurt their heart. You know, so my daughter Melinda, if she said, please pray for my mother, she is driving me crazy, you know. That would not be kind. That would crush my heart. But she could say, you know, I'd really appreciate prayer for someone in my family, you know. So now if she ever says that, they're going to go, oh, we know. But that part truly is important, to to not uncover people. The other thing we ask for is confidentiality. That is a must. Again, it's so easy if you have a mutual friend in your group and you see that other friend to say, hey, I had no idea so-and-so was dealing with this. And you may not in any way mean that in a gossipy way. You do mean it as, so be praying for her or for them. We're asking none of that. Even if you have a mutual friend, you don't share. Let that person tell that friend, but you keep it as a confidence in your group. Is that all clear? I just think that's so important. And as I say, we will purpose to be here at 9:30 and hopefully in your groups right around 10:30. At 10:55, you're going to hear some music playing. And what that is for is to remind you, 5 minutes left, so that you can wrap up your prayers and be done. Because the moms who have kids in the childcare downstairs really need to be downstairs promptly at 11 to get your kids. You can come back up and fellowship with people if you want, but you need to get your kids, because those people who are working in childcare have a life, you know? They may have appointments, they may have classes that they go to. So please show them that respect of being there at 11 o'clock. You'll have two leaders in each group, and that just kind of makes it great, because if one is sick or one is out of town, there's the consistency or the constancy of having that at least one person that you know each week. You know, I don't mean to make it some long list of rules, but over the years, the thing that I have seen is prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is a powerful thing. And that is why the enemy loves to get in there and undermine it, attack it, use it for his purposes. And so to protect that time so that it can be used to the max, you just have to have some certain guidelines to go by. So hopefully you understand that. In 1 John 5, I love these two verses. Verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." I love every year hearing the stories of answered prayer. And that is the one last thing I would suggest that you consider doing. I had a friend down in Southern Oregon who always journaled her prayers. And when she came to our prayer group, she always wrote them in that little journal. And it was her habit to, when there was an answer to prayer, she had a red pen, and beside that prayer request, she'd make a big red A, signifying it was answered. And you know, that is a real encouragement in your faith when you go through and you see all of these big A's right next to the prayer request. It just is an encouragement. And I remember last year going into one group, and before, I mean, just as the group was starting, the gal came in and sat down and said, "Well, you can put a big A next to my prayer request from last week." And I saw that, you know, there's that excitement, that blessing. So I hope all of that is super clear. I wanted to save our leaders the time of having to go through that themselves, because they'll want to have time just to do some other business, having you with your name tags and all of that. So, well, Lord, we do come to you, and we thank you, God, for each woman that you have invited here this morning. Lord, we love you, and we so desire to get to know you better. So will you help us? Would you quicken our minds? Would you help us to concentrate, to focus, to draw near to you? And Lord, to see how you reveal yourself to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know many of you were with us last year, but I also know there are many new faces this year. So the thing that I would encourage for those who weren't with us last year, all of those teachings are online. You just go to the Yathe site under women's ministry and the teachings, and they're right there. And initially, I was going to try to give a little something on each name. And I thought, well, that will refresh the gals who were here last year. And for the gals who weren't here, it'll kind of bring them up to where we are as well. And then I thought, can't do that, you know, not this first week when we're dealing with a kind of a crunch on our time. And I thought, those teachings are all available. And so I do encourage you to listen to them. Some are even on video, so if that is nicer for you than listening, just listening. But I would really encourage you to know those names, because in so many ways, last year's study I've seen is a springboard for what we're going to be going through this year. Last year we studied the names of God, and so we were primarily in the Old Testament. And truly, when the Lord showed me that that is what we were going to go through, and I shared this with the gals who were here, I was completely intimidated. I felt that that was a study that would be way over my head. I looked at some of the names that I felt that we'd go through, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't even know how to pronounce these, you know, let alone teach about them. But God is always faithful. And as he taught me each week as I prepared to share with you, I was so blessed to feel that I was seeing the Lord in a way that I had not seen him before, or I had missed who he was at that particular time in my life. You know, Pastor Brett has said that God's names reveal who he is. They reveal his nature, his character. And that is what we saw last year. For me, for my Bible studies, for as long as I have done them, it didn't matter what the subject, the greatest motivation in my heart has always been that the women would know the Lord better. And in knowing him better, they would love him more. That is what I've always had as my desire. And I know that last year, as we went through the names of God, my own love was definitely ignited as I started identifying with some of his names. And by that I mean as his name would be revealed and how he would be seen, it would be like, oh, right, you know, and I would have a recollection of a time in my life when I knew him by that name. So, for example, when we were studying the name Elohim, that means creator, as I was studying, all of a sudden I thought, Lord, that is how I knew you. When I was in the delivery room holding Tad in my arms for the first time, I knew that there was a creator, and yet lacked relationship with him. And I share that story a little bit. Another name I identified with was El Roy, and that name means the God who sees me. And as I told the story of Hagar, and that's found in Genesis 16, if you want to look it up, Hagar was a single mom. I was a single mom. And I remembered feeling that my comfort was that the Lord showed me in a multitude of ways that He was the God who sees me. And it was a huge comfort to my heart. Then, the other name that I particularly identified with was Adonai, which means Lord. That's when you see it in your Bible, it's capital L and then O-R-D or in regular letters. And it speaks of the master-servant relationship. And when I was studying on that name, I thought, oh, this is how I knew you. When you called me to be in women's ministry, and I had no desire to do it at all. And Lord, yes, I did come kicking and screaming. But I said yes, because I knew you were my Lord. And we just had a wonderful time last year hearing other people's stories as well of how they identified with the Lord. And the way we did that was we had testimonies. And that means like about every 3 weeks or so, I would ask a gal, I mean, she was prepared, she'd been told, it wasn't like you, to share her testimony. And if there were a name of God that she particularly identified with, that she would perhaps share that. We're gonna do that again this year. And it is wonderful for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's always a blessing to see and to hear how the Lord works in other people's lives. You know, and so often, and I've heard this multiple times, the people who came up were people that, for an outside observer, would think, oh yeah, she's really got it together, you know? And then that person would share, and it would be like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. You know, that is one of the things the enemy loves to do, is to tell us we're the odd man out, you know, that everyone else has this rich history with the Lord. Maybe they've never even sinned. You know, that's what the enemy loves to tell us, when the truth is every single one of us has sinned greatly, and every single one of us needs a Savior. And so I loved listening to the testimonies. It was from every single testimony we had last year, there was a gift, a nugget that I took hold of. And I know that was true for you. As I look out at Elaine, I'm thinking of her father-in-law. That was one of my nuggets from you, who accepted the Lord when he was 89, correct? I mean, 89. And that was such a wonderful story. So I do look forward to that. And so it's not just hearing the stories and seeing how the Lord was in their lives, but it's also through that getting to know those people better. And you start realizing, oh, we're really all pretty much the same, you know? And it's a comfort and it's reassuring. As I prayed regarding what we would have this year, I had felt, and actually I started praying about that before the study even ended last year. I was praying about it and I was loving the names of God so much. And there were still loads of names yet to be studied in the Old Testament. I was kind of inclined thinking, wow, maybe we're gonna stay with the names. And I did feel that. And again, there was that kind of intimidation, but it was at the same time knowing he would be faithful. But it wasn't until this summer, when I was praying about it, that I felt that the Lord, even though the direction was essentially the same it was his names. He changed it to the names of Jesus. And so I don't know how you feel when you read your Bible, if you go through. But for me, when I finish Malachi and I go into Matthew, it's like the New Testament, you know. So that's kind of what I felt when I realized that he would have us go through the names of Jesus. I thought, we're going to be in the New Testament. So I'm very excited about that. You know, I've shared in the past that I am not one, people have asked me, and that's why I share, I am not one who, like in the summer, when I'm off and there's no class meeting, I just crank out those teachings and get them all done so that we're ready when we start. That just has never been my practice, and I probably won't know till heaven if that is just the way God deals with me, or if it's my own procrastination. But I do know he's faithful every year. And so week by week, he reveals who he wants us to look at. And that has been his pattern, and that has been how I have done it. I've been praying and pondering about the transition from Old Testament to New, from the names of God, which, at least for me personally, seems so austere, you know, so formal. Even though as we learned about those names, we realized he was so with us. But I still had that basic sense. And so I was praying and thinking, so to transition from that to the new. And as I prayed about it, the Lord brought a story to my mind, and it was the story of how he revealed himself to Moses in the story of the burning bush, and we looked at that last year. I'm sure most of you know that story, that Moses saw this bush that was burning, and it was not consumed, and so he was curious and went over to it, not realizing that it was God who would speak to him, saying, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He didn't know it was God at that moment, let alone that God was going to commission him. He was going to send him to Egypt to free the Israelites. And when the Lord said that to Moses, he protested, and he had any number of arguments for God. He could not envision himself in that role. But he finally came under it, and he said to the Lord, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Do you remember God's reply? I am who I am. The Lord said, this is what you're to say. I am has sent me to you. Well, I'm sure that you all remember that the names of God here is, the name for God here is Jehovah. And Jehovah, when you see that in the Bible, it's all caps Lord. And it's so interesting, because after this study last year, it would just pop out at me every time I saw Lord in caps. I immediately thought, you know, Jehovah. And then when I'd see the Lord, and Jehovah was, you know, high to me. But then when I saw Lord, it was capital L, small O-R-D, and realized, you know, that is the relationship he wants with us. He wants us to come to him as our Lord. And yet seeing him as Jehovah, the capital L, capital O-R-D, and yet realizing that it's because he wants relationship with us that Jehovah came in this way. Jehovah speaks of three things. One, being eternal. I am doesn't have any past or future. He lives in the present tense. He always exists. The second is, it speaks of being immutable. That is, he doesn't change. It also speaks of being self-defined. I am that I am. So the name Jehovah is the name we see for the God who wants to reveal himself to us, to have relationship with us. He's the self-revealing God. And one of the ways he reveals himself to us is in meeting our needs. So the way you see that is the name Jehovah will be coupled with another name. And the other name is whatever he does in that need. So Jehovah would be I am, and then whatever the need was would be what the next name was. So for example, the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means the Lord will provide. There's that story, if you want to look it up, in Genesis 22. When the need was for healing, it was Jehovah Rapha. And the story for that is in Exodus 15. 22 through 26, if you want to look at that. And that means the Lord who heals. Jesus is I am. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Matthew 8, verse 5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jesus has seven I am statements in the Bible. And in those, he tells us who he is and what he can do for us and what we can become through him. So these are the names we'll be starting with. I feel like the Lord is doing something new there. Even as Moses experienced that whatever his need, Jehovah, I am that I am, was all that he was in need of. And it's my prayer that you and I will see that Jesus, the great I am, will also be all we are in need of. I am that I am, a name that is eternal, no past, no future. I'd like to share a few New Testament passages of Scripture that speak of the eternal, immutable, self-defined nature of Jesus, and then we'll be done. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Philippians 2, 6th verse, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Colossians 1:15, and this is one of my favorite verses. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Last year's study was a huge blessing for me. And as I have been looking at the names, thinking of what we're going to be doing this year, I can't help but feel that the studies this year are going to be like an exclamation point on all the names we studied last year. It will be as if last year's teachings provided the foundation for this. And I am really looking forward to us knowing our Savior better and loving him more. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and we do want to know you better. And so I give you thanks for your leading, Lord, this year, that as we go through your names, we will know you better. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us to trust you and your leading in our lives. Lord, I thank you for every woman you brought here this morning, and pray now as she goes to find a group to sit with, that in truth, you will be the one leading her along. Have your way, I pray, Lord. Bless each person. Bless their prayer time. And Lord, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.